traffic green roof, and now it's a barbecue area.
No, that's the level up. That's the next level up. The conditions that we're considering is the deletion of part of the very top floor units, and that as a result, of course, there'll be the roof of the next level down, which is actually the roof of that communal room. And it was that roof that was to be kept as simply a rainwater roof, or a green, green with vegetation on top of it. I think you might be a bit confused. It was never the intention that the communal space, the next level down, was to be removed. That's my understanding. Is the rest of the panel in agreement?
Yep.
Yes. So that's the matter we're dealing with here today, okay? All right. Well, thank you for that. The next person I have is Grant McAlpin. Are you here, Grant? Thank you. If you'd state your name, please.
Grant McAlpin. A lot of the parts about the height have been covered in that already. I guess what I want to talk about is the privacy situation. You went out to my place today. The balcony at the front of the top unit, the privacy from there. A common barbecue party area or whatever it's going to be. Looking up into our area, like once you're up on the deck of the pool area, we look straight down into it, would look straight down into that. The shadowing of the building, like I know that drawings have been done, but I've lived there for 9 years. I know which way the sun goes in winter time, and we're going to get quite a lot of shadowing from that building. So at the end of the day, I'm pretty much like the other guys. The conditions that were put on originally, if they were the way they should be, I could live with that. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Any questions from the panel? All right, thank you, Mr. McAlpin.
Thanks.
Now, I do have some other people listed to speak. I've got Gerard Connaughton. Are you present?
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Connaughton. Okay.
Hello. I'm here to represent Mr. and Mrs. Rogan from number 16. Mm-hmm. And it's been put forward the main issues are overshadowing, visual outlook and character development. One particular issue they've asked me to put forward is obviously to reinstate the condition 1A that this panel put into place under the development consent.
Yeah.
And also just to draw, not draw your attention, but to reiterate the exceedance of the height limit by 2.6 metres, which is 15% above the allowable. And the point being is that, 0.5 a metre over the height limit would be acceptable, but it's 2.6 metres, which is another floor, which is sort of not challenging the control plans, but sort of disregards it. So they'd like some further consideration put forward for that. And also the fact that council and yourselves make decisions and write policies for a reason, and just to, in this instance, for the building envelope as prescribed to be upheld. That's all.
Thanks, Mr. Connell. Now, unit 16 is right beside number 17, is it?
Number 16, yes.
Is it at the back of it or on the side of it facing Barwon?
Side of it.
Park Avenue, on the side.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from the panel?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Connaughton. Now, the next person I have listed is Yvette Middleton from GSA Planning. Is Yvette Middleton... Oh, there you are. Would you like to come and speak? I think so. Is that I've only got a Richard Lamb and then a Mr. Antonides. So,
for the record, Yvette Middleton from GSA Planning.
Thank you.
Thank you for hearing me today. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, and I'd like to point out to the objectors that it really is only one condition that we're talking about, and that is the reduction of the upper floor. All the other things we accept, so there's no change to anything else. Just by way of background, it's an adaptive reuse of an existing warehouse building facing Barwon Road that we're talking about. And this was favourably regarded by the Design Review Panel and Council's Development Assessment Officers throughout the design development. The built form responds to the existing floor-to-floor of the warehouse building. So we've been quite transparent about the height being exceeded in one part of the site, and that is where there is a lower height limit, but it has been in response to the higher than normal floor-to-floor heights of a warehouse building. We're also responding to the sloping topography. We're stepping down in our original proposal to the adjacent residential flat building. So we have endeavoured to address all the DCP concerns. As the Chair has noticed, the overall height is lower than the 20-metre height limit for the majority of the site. And unusually, as I've said, we have two height limits. So more than half of the lower height limit part, where we're talking about condition 1A, is compliant with the height limit in that area of 17 metres. Our design has considered the effects on the neighbours. It complies with privacy under the ADG, which requires minimum 18 metres. It complies with solar access to the rooftop terraces. It doesn't affect the windows of the adjoining properties. And it provides a better view access to Sydney Parklands from units 28 and 29, according to our analysis, than the actual condition response to condition 1A. So we're enabling view sharing. Outlooks, we note, are still available from other parts of the roof terrace to as far away as Mascot, we understand, Randwick, that sort of area. We also note that the roof terraces technically are not private open space because they don't directly adjoin living areas, but we do acknowledge that there will be still views to other areas across their own building. And
do you need a little more time?
Just one more.
Okay.
Our final point is that the panel modification won't actually provide a better outcome in terms of Barwon Park elevations, which we consider will be less balanced and will provide a more fragmented view. And this will be covered a little bit more by the other speakers. Thank you.
There's a question here. Just don't run away.
Ms. Middleton, is one of the following speakers an architect or can talk to the plans?
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Okay, the next person I have listed is Richard Lamb, Visual Impact Assessment. Now, look, I don't mind, Mr. Antonides is also listed. Did he want to speak last, or did Mr. Lamb want to speak last? Okay. Mr. Lamb, then. I think you're next. Just a minute.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I was brought in to give an assessment of the conditions on the consent only. I haven't been involved in the design up until now. So I've applied my specialisation, which is to try as objectively as possible to work out what the impacts would be. I've agreed that Unit 29 is the worst case in that regard, and that one is the one I've concentrated on. We've had 3D modelling done, and it shows three scenarios. One is the permissible envelope, one's the DA, and one's an envelope that's subject to the conditions imposed by the panel. They're in my report. All three scenarios show that view loss would occur, but the permissible envelope is by far the worst because it's higher, it's further east and blocks more sky and tree canopy. The panel condition creates slightly more view loss than the DA. It reveals a similar amount of sky and tree canopy, just slightly differently organised. The assessment, I think, says that there's no significant benefit or improved view sharing if the conditions are applied. But if one adopts the tenacity planning principle and goes to step four, the question is that reasonable? My position is it's reasonable in both cases. The panel's conditions would produce reasonable view loss, and it's essentially the same as in the DA. But if you apply step four in tenacity and ask yourself the question, is the condition a more skillful design? I think the answer is no. The design with the condition has reduced development potential and amenity and no better view sharing. In other words, with due respect, I think it fails the test in step four of tenacity. It's either of no consequence or slightly worse than a DA. From my point of view, I think the DA as it was is reasonable in terms of view sharing.
And you dealt only with the view loss aspects?
That's all I've dealt with.
All right, thank you. Any questions? All right. My next listed person is Mr. Andreas Antonides. Thank you. If you'd state your name, please. Turn your mic on. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Andrea Antoniadis. I represent Antoniadis Architects. I'm the director of the practice and integrally involved in the design. First of all, I'd like to let the panel know that it was a real privilege to be working on a site like this where we have an opportunity to look at how we can be sensitive about what is existing in the DNA of the site, look at what we can keep, what we can resuscitate, and basically look at providing something that's modern and up-to-date that will integrate with the history of the site. I think that we've been very careful and very sensitive about how we've approached the design of this building. We've been working very closely with heritage architects, with the council, and also having a very good response from the design review panel. One of the key aspects and one of our approaches to Barton Street facade was to look at the existing warehouse building and making sure that that remained significant in the streetscape. What we proposed to do was provide a setback off the facade to the north and also to the south. The reason why we did that was to create and maintain a visual sharing amenity between the properties to the south, as well as creating an appropriate setback which would not diminish or have minimal impacts in terms of solar access to the terraces to the south. In doing so, we're creating a built form that is quite balanced and has a great response to the existing building as well as to the context. We think it's an appropriate built form. We think that any reduction of that upper level will not be a desired outcome or even a better outcome that we've produced in terms of the DA. And the reason why we're here today, again, is because we strongly believe that the approach we've taken has been very carefully thought out and believe it's the right approach for the site.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions?
It's true, isn't it, that this the boundary adjacent the subject of this application is a change in height boundary.
Yes.
It's a transitional. Would you like to say how you've accommodated, tried to include a transition at this point?
I beg your pardon?
Could you explain to me how you've tried to accommodate a transition at this point?
Well, in terms of what we've done is we've created a setback on the upper level on both street frontage and to the southern boundary. In doing so, it allows, because of the topography of the site as well, the built form steps down from the west to the east, and from the north to the south. And we believe that by stopping the building where we have and then creating a level below is allowing for a transition between our build form and the one to the south.
I'm having trouble with your plans. There is a section line shown on the plans running north-south through the area we're talking about.
Would you like me to come forward so you can show me? Or?
Well, it's on drawing 3.06. And it's a section line that's marked 1 and then ZZ, or it might be 22. This is a critical section because it will explain how your building abuts the neighbour.
So would you mind repeating the drawing number, please?
3.06.
It's a plan drawing.
That's a plan, yes.
Yeah, it's level 04.
Yes, I got that.
And the section is marked 1ZZ. This section is critical in understanding the relationship between your building and the neighbour. It doesn't seem to be included in the set that we've got. Was it submitted?
I don't have it on my drawing in terms of that section. Could I ask my colleague to
would
come?
Would 1ZZ be sort of...
It could be
saying
just
that we haven't done it yet. Would ZZ mean
possibly,
we haven't done
possibly,
it yet?
Possibly, because it wouldn't be called up as the DA
right.
Section line, yep.
Right. Okay. So if you go over to... If you look at drawing... Five 5.02, the bottom drawing, that appears to be an elevation from the courtyard looking towards the back street, and it appears to show the common area terrace.
Yes, to the adjoining building to the south.
And
yes.
a little awning sticking out from your building.
Yes.
Yeah. So is that the terrace we're talking about?
The terrace that was the communal space is the one...
That's the communal space?
Yeah, below, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that level is RL 2839.
Yes, correct.
So when you walk out on that terrace, the neighbour's wall is going to be about 2 metres high? Is
yes.
That right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you won't be able to see onto the neighbour's terrace. We were there this morning and it had a parapet of about 1.5, but there was a raised area that's not shown here that I don't think you go up about half a flight and there's a pool. The neighbour had a pool.
Right.
Not all your neighbours have pools, but the one closest to you does have a pool, which would be the walking level would be somewhere about 300 below that parapet you've shown for the neighbour. They would tend, if they stood on the pool edge, they would look down into that communal space. Do you agree with that?
Without actually having proper sectional...
Exactly.
Yeah. I, in terms of their pool level, I wouldn't be able to assess that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. In front of me right now. Yeah. But in terms of the level where we are, that terrace is quite protected, and
now,
you'd have to go to the
boundary. It's normal for a section 4.55 to show what's new, what you're proposing. Would you agree that you haven't shown it here?
What we've hatched is the area that we had originally provided in the first DA.
Where have you hatched that?
It was in the 4.55 application prepared by GSA.
It's not on the drawings we've got.
It must be in a report, is it? Yeah.
I've seen it.
It might be the one on page 193 of the report.
When is the GSA report?
Page 193 of the report, I think.
That council's.
Yes.
So we understand that in the report it's the council officer has highlighted the change.
Right.
But you concede you haven't shown what's changed.
Well, it hasn't changed because it's basically we're applying for the...
Yes, I understand that it's because what you proposed originally.
Correct.
But so you haven't interpreted what the condition means. And then shown that reversed, as it were.
We have shown it in here.
In figure 3 of the report, of GSA's report.
I don't think we've got
it. It shows the same thing, does it? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we've got GSA report.
I don't think we do. Yeah.
Well, we'll look at that. Thank you. It's a bit hard to understand. Well, it's possible to work it out, but it's not normal not to show what the proposal is. Thank you.
Yeah. If you hand that report up, although the council officers will have it, we'll look at that. I think we might adjourn just to consider our position, but there's more questions, perhaps. Are you finished, Mr. Stapleton?
Yes, thank you.
I had one question, Mr. Antonides. If you go to drawing 6.41. It's the one that's coloured in dark orange and light orange.
Yes, I've got it in front of me.
Okay. On the left-hand side, the Princes Highway height analysis, 02, do I understand the pale orange that is on the Barwon Park side, it says that you're 3.32 metres above the height limit at that point? And I take it that's the corner of... Yes? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Yeah, you might want to listen to the question. You might need to help, Mr. Antonides. Let me think. Oh, I need to go to this drawing here. The top floor unit, which is, it's that one, but it doesn't have a unit number on it.
No.
Anyway, it's the top floor unit that is the subject of condition 1A.
I've been told of 29.
Would this help? This is what condition 1A did. This is what was originally applied for and what is asked to be reinstated.
Okay. That's good. But I'm just interested in, just so we can understand the stepping principle and the height exceedance principle. What will I find? That orange drawing again. I had it a minute ago. There it is. That height exceedance of plus 3.32 metres, that's the corner of that unit that's the subject of condition 1A above Barwon Park Road, isn't it?
Correct.
It is. Okay.
The area to the next of it is minus 2.43 below the height limit.
Yes, but that's down at level 3.
Yes.
Isn't it? Which is the communal space.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's the floor level of it. Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chairman. On the drawing, the plan that shows the unit number 29, as you've said, under consideration, there's a balcony along the rear road site, Barwon Park Road. That balcony faces the neighbour. Is it proposed to put any sort of privacy screen there?
Yes, there is.
Is that shown anywhere in the plan?
It should be on our original DA drawings. I can check that quickly.
You wouldn't object to a condition including a privacy screen?
Not at all. It's key that we maintain amenity between ourselves and the neighbours.
Thank you.
Now, Ms. Middleton, you were explaining something to Ms. Day up here, I think, out of your report. Are you happy you've finished explaining it to her so she can explain it to us?
Well, I might, if I may, explain it to you all at once.
Do you want to approach? Or
do you want me to do it over from here? Or?
Well, you can approach here,
okay,
if you like. Come on up and we'll gather around. Mr. Antonides, if you wish to as well. Just come into the middle here.
Can we all gather around?
We'd have to do it down that end then. But we'll see. We'll see what she has to say.
Okay, so this was our proposal as submitted.
Yeah.
Then when the condition was applied, that took off this room here and this room here. So we prepared a sketch without those two rooms to reconfigure that as a single unit instead of this being two units.
I understand, yes.
So when we looked at that, that's how we could then make an assessment of what the effects would be of complying with Condition 1A in terms of solar access, views, privacy, all that sort of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's how we were then able to say there would be no real benefit from doing that.
Understood, yep.
So when we then applied to delete Condition 1A, we're reverting to the drawings as submitted.
Yes, my only point was that it was not shown, was not highlighted as the proposal.
Right.
Because that's what you're supposed to do, differentiate the proposal from the existing. But I understand why you did it.
Yeah, because the proposal
this
was...
This partly addresses that. Yes.
And I guess the existing is the existing in terms of the original.
Well,
so
it's
not like you...
No, I completely understand what happened, but it's still not... Yeah. We still can't. It's not shown.
Can I also just... Whilst we're in this drawing, if I can make just that, with regards to the privacy point that you raised, I'd like to just...
I think we might go to the other end of the table. Okay. So that the...
I just wanted to just say about that screen.
Well, let's go to the other end of the table so the residents can understand. Now, I don't have anybody else listed to talk. I'm proposing now, I spoke to the panel members, that we wish to adjourn again, as we did on a previous matter, to discuss what we've heard and consider our decision. I believe that's the appropriate thing to do, and we'll return probably in 15 minutes. 20 minutes to let you know what we've decided. Okay? Thank you. The time is now 4:25. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We resume today's meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel at 4:52 p.m. The panel has considered the reports and the submissions received. and reviewed the plans, the subject of the application. And we've heard from several speakers, and we've come to a conclusion. Could you put up the decision so I could read it? Thank you. The Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the authority of the Council pursuant to Section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, has considered the Council Officer's report on this matter and has declined to agree with it. The panel has also considered the reasons for the previous Inner West Local Planning Panel decision to impose Condition 1A of the development consent along with the, and also considered the drawings and documents contained in the Section 4.55 application and has determined the original decision is valid for the same reasons as in Clause 5D on page 199 of this agenda. Therefore, the application is refused. Thank you. That concludes. And the vote, I believe, is unanimous.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Agreed.
And that concludes the panel's considerations today of item 5, and we move on to item 6. Item 6 is DA 201800301 for 285 Marrickville Road, Marrickville, to fit out and use the ground floor premises as a small bar. I think, Ms. Roach, you are going to take the running on this matter. Thank you.
I will, Mr. Chair. I believe we have a speaker on this item, which is Kate Robertson, architect. Kate, would you like to come forward and... You just need to press the button on the chair.
My name's Kate Robertson, architect for Design Associates. The council is putting this, the planners put this forward for approval. If you guys are going to not approve it, then I'll talk. If you're not going to approve it, then otherwise.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Kate. Well, then, in that case, I just have a question in comparison, and we can leave it open to the other panel members as well. So the report itself, it's an application for a 60-person small bar.
Yes, it is.
So it's an application for a 60-person small bar. Yeah. The conditions of consent have it for a 52-person, with the other eight being the separate application to council. So regardless of what happens, I just want to ensure that you're aware, if that application for the eight people, say, on the street, on the external to the premises, is refused, it sits at a 52-person application. We're clear in relation to that?
Yes, I'm totally clear. That's why I thought it was 52.
Yep.
It's an independent
application,
yeah,
so
I understand.
Regardless, this will sit at 52, so we're clear in relation to that. And I also just want to confirm that condition 42, the windows and door frames at the front are have been determined to be timber and not aluminium. I want to make sure that you're aware of that condition 42.
That's correct. We've already made changes to our drawings.
So you're happy to agree
for
that?
For the PCA.
Fine. Okay. They were the only two questions I have. Have any of the other members of the panel got a question?
I have one, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to do with conditions 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. They seem to be more or less management controls. And your client is quite happy to go along with all of those because they require the recording of any incidents and having a record of any incidents that might happen. As we know, sometimes these things happen, unfortunately, related to licensed premises. So all of those are acceptable to your client?
My client's actually here. He's been in the entertainment industry for many, many years and has had to deal with those record books of CCTV and whatever those conditions are. So, yes, he's completely aware of it and has had to deal with managing bars before for those issues.
And one other question. I notice your hours of operation are... normally 10 p.m. at night, but Sunday Friday and Saturday night, it's midnight. Now, one of the ongoing complaints that I've heard in regard to licensed premises is collection of bottles and glasses and dumping them into the garbage bins at early hours of the morning. I don't see a specific condition unless you invoke the noise limit conditions that require that. Have you been through the conditions? Can you point me to one that says that you can't dump bottles at 10 past 12 on a Sunday morning?
There's no condition. You haven't written any. Planning hasn't written any condition in regards to that, but there is acoustic condition that's going to limit you. Having said that, the garbage is going to be kept within the tenancy.
Right.
And so it wouldn't really make any real noise to the outside. I think you're probably thinking where garbage bins are kept external to tenancies, and that's quite a noisy situation.
Yeah, but that's loading and unloading. That's not stacking bottles in the garbage bins. Perhaps if you could just ask your client, would he object to a condition that said you can't throw bottles in the garbage bins except between, say, 7:30 a.m. and what, 8 p.m.?
Limit your hours.
Absolutely, it's common sense
and
courtesy.
Yes.
My client's response was, absolutely, it's common sense and courtesy.
Well, I think he's probably encountered it before. The officer's pointed out to me condition 16, which says all loading and unloading in connection with the use is carried out between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. But I'd take it that's more or less deliveries, isn't it?
Yeah, that's goods being delivered. And
so you could include in that, if we put in condition 16, all loading and unloading in connection with the use, including... and disposal of waste and collection of bottles. Must be carried out between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. Would that be acceptable?
I don't think that's actually ideal. And the reason being is rubbish trucks come at 6 in the morning.
Oh.
Sorry.
You've got to separate bottles from the rest.
Mr. Chair, it may be more appropriate to put it in the plan of management on page 339 under glassware. Management understands that glassware is not properly collected by staff, source of potential injury, focus of staff, to ensure that no glassware is left longer than required in floor areas. There's that part there, and there's also the cleaning procedures on page 338. I actually think it would be better in a plan of management than a condition of consent.
I think, I'm happy with that. Is it there, is it?
Glassware is the internal one.
Yes.
And then you've got the closing procedure about exiting the premise, the venue, patrons reminded to consider amenity of the neighbourhood by signage at the exit point, staff and security, information on hand, offering various forms. It's linked but not the same.
So what would you want to say?
I would put it just as a separate part in the plan of management, just as collection of glassware external to the premises. But I can see that the owner would like
the
to...
The owner would like to say something,
Kate.
Would
you like to come forward and dispose of the glass?
Well, if you'd like, just say your name.
My name is Gavin Malcolm. I'll be the owner of the bar. Glassware referred to in the management plan refers to tableware.
Right.
Yeah. The collection of used bottleware, I've had the issues before. So I was just saying to Kate, we can collate the bottles into bins between the hours of 9 and 6, that'll be fine, and then we actually wheel the full bins out at the end of shift, which won't be that. What people complain about is that throwing a bottle into...
Let's have a separate condition about disposal of bottles.
Waste and Recycling, page 337. Have you got a copy of that?
I haven't got a copy. I haven't read the document.
Could
be in the Waste Management
Plan. Yes. Sorry to raise this at such a late stage, but it just occurred to me that I couldn't see a condition relating to this. But I'm glad you appreciate it.
Put it in the, just in the recommendation that a condition to that effect be included.
Okay.
Let the council office do it.
All right.
Do you want it as consent condition?
Doesn't matter.
I'll put in the plan entry.
Okay. Can you formulate the condition and just do it in the decision? Thank you. If you wait there, I think, is the panel happy to make a decision based on what we've discussed and heard?
Yes.
Chairman, I was proposing a slight change in wording to the condition about the timber shopfront to include the words constructed and detailed in timber.
It's condition number 42.
This would just avoid some sort of tricky timber facing to something else.
It's window and door frames, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thank you.
And then next sentence would be what? The management plan? Kath, do you have a...
An additional point would be that a point be included in the plan of management in relation to the appropriate disposal... used bottleware, and council staff can draft a relevant point to that.
That's to avoid noise disturbance at night.
We'll add that at the end, to avoid noise disturbance
at night
and early morning.
All right, and early morning. Now, you happy with that? Good.
I'm sure you'll be able to manage around that.
Okay. Do you want to announce the decision then, Kate?
Certainly. So the panel has inspected the site today and considered the application, which is for DA 20180031 at 285 Marrickville Road, Marrickville, for a premises to be known as Miss Wolf. The proposal generally complied with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Marrickville LEP, Local Environmental Plan 2011, and Marrickville DCP 2011. Development will not result in any adverse significant impacts on the amenity of the adjoining premises and streetscape. The application is suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions, which the conditions are contained in Attachment A, as in addition to the additional conditions up there on the screen. So the determination of the panel is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to Section 80 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to development application number DA 20180031 for fit out and use of the ground floor premises as a small bar at 285 Marrickville Road, Marrickville, subject to the conditions listed in condition A, along with the amendment to condition 42 and the point to be added to the plan of management. And the panel's decision is unanimous. Yes.
Thank you very much. That concludes item 6. And we can now move on to item 7, which is DA 10.2018.96, 47 Wolseley Street, Haberfield, variation to the maximum building height control, non-compliance with clause 6.5 in brackets 3 in brackets little c of the Ashfield Local Environmental Plan 2013. And we have listed to speak 3 people. The first being Jan Bates of 49A. Now, I think we visited Jan Bates. I think she was an objector, and yes, and she was quite happy with the application as it now stands, under the draft conditions in the reports, and she said she didn't need to come to council. The next speaker is Michelle Lee, architect. Are you present?
Yes.
Would you like to address us? Yes, please come forward. And after that, I've got Subich Bahati. Nearly there, was I? Okay. Now, who's going to speak first? They better turn the microphone on and give us your name.
My name is Serbjeet Bharti, or Serb.
Oh, I nearly got it right, didn't I?
I'm sorry?
I nearly got it right.
Well, I knew it was me, so that was good. I just wanted to summarise, I guess, because the situation we seem to be at is that there are deferred commencement conditions that relate to the gable windows in the gable above the principal building. Would I be correct in summarising that they're the issues?
Yes, yes. That appears to be the staff recommendation for the deferred commencement condition, yes.
Yes, because I think up until that point we have, apart from present a case for the double gable in that position, have made amendments and liaised with the council, so we're happy to that point. But in relation to the gable windows, I wanted to put forward the case that the location of this property is on the edge of the conservation area, and it itself and the context within which it sits, with the single-storey properties to the north of it and then the two-storey building to the south of it, creates an anomaly, and that also its orientation, its vista is really towards a creek, so it's a little bit unusual to what would be seen characteristically within that conservation area. So there's an opportunity here to improve the residential amenity of this property, and the owner, Mr. Salvatore Orti Tula, has actually been living in the house from the day he built it, which was back in 1977. So there is a personal attachment within it, really reflects the growth of his own extended family, and it's very much a family home. And in terms of the impact of having louvres there that would enable some aspect towards the creek, I would dispute that it sort of makes a strong statement for it to be a second story, albeit it's contained within an attic, which wouldn't be unusual generally to convert that space for habitable use. So there are sort of other elements that could be brought into play to mitigate any light spillage from there, but it would be something that would really add to the quality of life and moving along with the evolution of Mr. Orti Tulo's life within that home and continue that as an ongoing factor.
I think Ms. Day was going to take the running on this matter. Sorry.
So are you suggesting that this the window and timber louvre screen be reinstated, is that?
Because they don't all need to be operable. It can be limited just so that there is some sort of aspect towards the creek. And I think if it was in a more traditional sort of setup with houses opposite as well, that there'd be, you could argue that there would be more of a case that there's light spillage, but it's orientated towards the creek, and then its situation within the conservation area is really towards the end. And so I think the impact of it will be very much contained to that building. And I think in light of the two-storey building next door to it, which is very much out of character, I think the proposal as it sits is actually improvement. And again, it's really by way of sort of providing a quality space for residential use for a single family.
Okay, thanks for that. I'll just...
Mm-hmm.
looking at the Heritage Conservation Area Statement of Significance. Oh, it hasn't got a map.
I'll ask a question. You're aware that there's a tradition in Haberfield of being very strict on dormer windows and putting windows in front gables, which the council has consistently, the councils over the years have consistently upheld because of the unique nature of the garden suburb, which is quite widely acknowledged as something special in Sydney, and they're loath to allow windows and gables lest they be used as a precedent for other buildings.
I'm aware of that, and I think it is a beautiful conservation area, but I think that this particular property is an anomaly within that context because of where it sits and its relationship to the two-storey building right next door to it, which was obviously built at some stage later, and once a conservation area had been established in any case. And I guess what's interesting about this property, it was actually built before the National Trust demarcated that area, but it's really not to sit there in conflict with the conservation area, but more just to really tell its own story, because it, you know, for where it sits, and in fact, it's probably quite special in that space. It's had it's that owner consistently over that whole period, and I think it the knock-on impact of that is very much contained because it sits on that curve. The building itself is the building line is set back. And the more detracting building sits forward. The gable itself has a recess to it, so there's lots of mitigating factors there that can be implemented.
Sorry, do you have the plans in front of you, a set of plans in front of you? So plan
yes, I do.
DA AR0302A, mm-hmm. which is the very first plan. Do you just want to talk to that for me in terms of what you're showing there?
Yes. What we did was have a look at the context of that property in the immediate vicinity, which was really looking at double gables facing the street and clearly, there are a number of examples that are about double gables facing the street, and that really speaks to how we approached the DA in hand.
But these don't have windows in them.
I acknowledge that, and again, it's really about, you know, because I understand that, you know, I think elsewhere there'd be more of a likelihood of having a knock-on effect, but I think this is quite unique in where it sits on that edge. As you approach the conservation area, its orientation is towards the creek, and it's sitting amongst two other buildings that are non-conforming, particularly that two-storey one.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add at this point? Thank you.
We're just looking at the map of the total conservation area of Haberfield.
Thank you. Happy to go with the recommendation.
We all agree with the recommendation. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, the panel visited the site today. We have discussed things on site and also just had a brief discussion together now. We feel that the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Ashfield Local Environmental Plan 2013 and the Comprehensive Inner West Development Control Plan 2016. The development isn't going to result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval as recommended by council staff, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. We also wish to support council in its consistent application of its heritage management principles, and so the Inner West Local Planning Panel approves the variation to the height of buildings control as prescribed by Clause 4.3 in the Ashfield LEP 2013, as it's satisfied that the applicant's written request has adequately addressed the matters required to be demonstrated by Clause 4.6 of that plan, and the proposed development would be in the public interest because it is consistent with the objectives of that particular standard and the objectives for development in the zone. The Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising its functions of the Council as a consent authority pursuant to Section 80 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, grants consent to DA 10/2018/96 for alterations and additions to an existing dwelling at 47 Wolseley Road, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A of this agenda, which commences at page 353. And just to draw to your attention that there are deferred commencement conditions to be imposed in relation to the gable window and louver screen are not supported and are to be deleted as per page 353 of the agenda. Are we unanimous in that decision?
Sorry, can I just check the last bit?
Yes.
The first sentence of the deferred consent condition is what you're actually highlighting there.
Yes. Yeah, the gable window and...